Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to another edition of Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin, and this is the program that talks about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County and beyond. We're talking about Washington, D.C. We're talking about Montgomery County. We're talking about Frederick. We're talking about the state of Maryland. We're talking about everything. Everything and anything I want to talk about. And we got a lot to talk about this week. It's interesting what goes on. You know, this is pop-up radio. Sometimes I've been missing. Sometimes I haven't been missing. I tell you, I come to you every Tuesday, right? Well, it's Thursday now, and it's 2 p.m. instead of 9 p.m. But we are thinking, you got to let me know, should we change it to an afternoon program? Take my lunch hour, just spew out everything that I need to say, and then go back to work. So if you didn't hear any bells and whistles going on, that's probably Microsoft Outlook, it's probably everything. I'm on work time. I'm actually on lunch right now. I'm sacrificing lunch to talk to you. Why? Because that's the kind of ego I have. Anyway, this is Two-Way Talk Radio, Outside Looking In program with me, Bruce Negrin. The phone number is 773-897-6423. Again, call into the studio at 773-897-6423. Got a bunch of topics we want to talk about. We just got some rain in Montgomery County. Best part about rain and after it rains is the flowers. Oh, you're so sweet, Bruce. You're so sweet. But it's true. I read somewhere, I was going out to Montauk, New York a couple weeks ago, and there was a sign on one of the marquees of a gardening place that said, "Be happy, grow a garden." And, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, okay, I'll buy that. I am happy when my grass grows and the flowers look good and the shrubs and all that kind of stuff. Take pride in my lawn. I'm out there. I'm in a competition with a neighbor. It's really funny. Every time I mow my lawn, he goes out to mow his lawn. And I'm not sure why this competition started, because I'm sort of jealous or envious of his grass. But the other day, you know how I know I was right? And this is the whole thing. It's like sometimes you get that intuition, that feeling. But I know I was right because I took out some hedge clippers and started trimming one of the bushes on a random day. Normally I go out and, you know, do the lawn on a certain day. This time I went out on a random day to trim some hedges. Son of a, the guy's out there too trimming his hedges. He saw me and then he's like, well, I better do that. Can't have his house look better than mine. But it's all right. Neighborhood pride. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. So anyway, the rain came through. I got to ask you a question. This is a very serious question, and I need an answer. Why don't they make barbecue covers just a little bit bigger? I got a Weber barbecue cover, and I struggle with that thing every day. It's like a burka. I'm trying to get it over my barbecue, my grill, and it doesn't fit. I'm like ripping and pulling and doing all this stuff. So finally, you just lay it over like a blanket. Like a bad hair piece. It's true. How come they just don't make them a tad bit bigger? And that way you could still get all the protection. And you know, not have to struggle with it every time. I want answers. Phone number 773-897-6423. That might be the last time I give you the phone number because I'm going to talk for about an hour or so. But I do want to hear your opinions on some of the topics that we have coming up. Now I'm going to talk about the Nationals. Went to a Nationals game. My first Nationals game in 2 years. I took the boys, got indoctrinated into the National League down in D.C. Not the Senators, but the Nationals. Go Nats. My kids have a ball with that. Go Nats. And every time they say go Nats, they just start shooing away from their face like they're bugs. Because the Nats are bugs. I never realized. It's so funny. Someone said the other day, how much your kids grow up like you. You know, my kids have not been dyed in the wool of being Met fans yet. They're too young. New York Ranger fans, hockey, I get it. You know, I watch the hockey religiously. I get the NHL channel or the package to watch the Rangers. Down here, I'm not that much on baseball. I wish I could get it on radio. I enjoy baseball on radio. But anyway, the kids were at the Nationals game. And boy, man, the Nationals pulled ahead like in the eighth or ninth inning. And my kids were mad. They were mad. They're like, the Mets are losing, man. Boo! Boo! Ryan starts going nuts. My 8-year-old starts going nuts. He's like, I don't like the Nationals. Boo! And I was like, son, you better pipe down. We are in the Nationals' house. And that was the thing about Landon, my 6-year-old. He didn't understand why everybody was rooting for the Nationals. It's the first time he's been on the road, so to speak. But He had a face on him that you couldn't believe. He was so sad. But speaking about the Nationals and, you know, National Stadium, I don't know what you think, but in my single appearance there, I'm going to say boondoggle. Why? The stadium is fine. All right, the stadium is fine. It's a bit sterile, but the stadium overall is fine. You know, you can't complain, these new baseball stadiums, but they didn't get, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and he sort of mentioned some things that he was correct. We had some pretty good seats. My wife always spoils us. She's able to get good seats from through her vendor, so I live very, very large when it comes to the sports stuff. But anyway, so we're sitting there, and it's, you know, you got three views coming out of Nationals Park, and they're all three of the parking lots. Parking lot A, parking lot B. Remember parking lot B. It's going to be pivotal to the story. That's the key play, parking lot B and parking lot C. And then you're looking out on a Booz Allen Hamilton, Booz Allen Hamilton building. You know, from the lower levels, you can't really see out. A lot of these other parks, like PNC Park in Pittsburgh and even up the road, Camden Yards, you know, you get to see downtown. The view wasn't so great, but that doesn't even matter. The park was okay for what it was. The kids enjoyed it. We were able to get in. I like what they do where they say you can't go in while play is in action. I do appreciate that, so everybody's not always getting up and getting down, because that's probably the most annoying thing about going to a live ball game or a hockey game, et cetera. So, but they got that. But the thing was, I say boondoggle because in that neighborhood, you know, you talk about trying – I guess, you know, stadiums are very important to neighborhoods. You could just go to Camden Yards and take a look. But Camden Yards is like on the outskirts of the city itself. They built the Nats Park in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it is not convenient to get to at all. Yes, I should use mass transit. I understand that. You know, and if I lived in the D.C. metro area without having to go to Shady Grove and taking an hour and a half to get down there, I would take metro. But I got two kids, 6 and 8. I'm going to put them on the metro train, and we're going to make it connections to go anywhere. You know, it's like the sensibilities weren't there. So we decided to drive anyway because we had parking passes for parking lot B. I told you to listen for that, parking lot B. We're going down. We're taking ways, you know, go on the Whitehurst Freeway, go this way, Independence Avenue, Constitution Avenue, South Congress Street, you know, South Constitution Avenue, all of this stuff, South Capitol, excuse me. I'm still getting my way around in the D.C. area. I know it more by sight than by name. But anyway, we're going around. We get there. And, you know, I mean, this is what I never understood either. I never understood traffic cops, people directing traffic or not directing traffic at that for that fact. You know, when you get to South Capitol Street, you could see the stadium down the road. But the way they built it, too, they built the stadium on South Capitol Street, but you're going up and then there's a throughway down. You know, I understand you can't make it super friendly to people, and the parking lot's not around like it's a Shea Stadium or a Citi Field or something like that, but it is not friendly at all. Stop signs, by the way. You can't build a stadium where the neighborhood is dominated by stop signs, because it's going to take an hour to move because nobody's letting anybody in. Stop sign, you have the one for one. Okay, you're still doing that. It's still going to take an hour. And then plus, you're not in one of the greatest neighborhoods. Let's just call a fact, right? You're not in one of the greatest neighborhoods if you cross over trying to get to Independence Avenue. All these people here are like, what are you talking about? I'm just throwing out names because I just figured out all this stuff. But anyway, here is my point. I got the parking pass to parking lot B. I go up. I ask one of the first people I see right at the South Capitol Street, say, can you tell me how to go to parking lot B? And he's like, yeah, go down here, make a left, and then you should be able to get into it. Okay, thank you, man. I appreciate it. The kids in the back were all like, yeah, Met game. We're on time, by the way. We are on time. The kids are on time. We're going to catch the first inning. Or so we thought. We get up to that stoplight and then to that stop sign. We make the left-hand turn. We cut in and say, hey, where's parking lot B? I just want to back it up. I want to know my facts. I want to understand where I'm going. Where's parking lot B? A guy with Metro Police, D.C. Police on his sleeve tells me, just make a right turn here and go there. Up to that light, make a right turn. So I'm going up to make the right turn into the light. And then another person who works at the stadium with traffic says, you can't come in here. So you know where I'm going with this? I said, well, how do I get to parking lot B then? Well, just go down to New Jersey Avenue and make a right. go down to New Jersey Avenue. This, and mind you, this is not it's like an easy thing to do here because you get stopped at the lights, you're stopped with traffic, people walking around. Go down there. Takes you 10 minutes to get down there. Time is ticking away. We're going to miss the first inning. I get down there. I ask him how to do. Oh, you got to turn around. Another guy with the D.C. Metro Police. He goes, you got to turn around and go up to this street. I go in there, and the lady's like, you can't come this way. And I'm like, will someone tell me how to get to parking lot B? It is right there. How do I get there? Oh, I don't know. And then the other lady comes by and says, well, go down here back to New Jersey Avenue and something else. Where are you going? And I turn to my kids. I go, you know Dad's getting upset. And they're like, yeah, Dad, we could see it. I said, do you think I'm wrong or right on this one? Because, you know, you don't want to be mad in front of your kids. They're like, Dad, nobody knows where we're going. That's the kids verbatim. That is in air quotes. I'm doing it right now. Quotes. Dad, nobody knows what's going on down here. I was like, damn Skippy, kids, nobody knows what's going on down here. I mean, I'm talking to Metro police officers. How are they going to respond to something in parking lot B if they can't tell me how to get there? Washington, D.C., I'll tell you, man, you know, you think it's a capital. It's the capital of the United States. But that capital is so self-contained that the city itself doesn't know it's right from its left. Or as my dad would say, it's ass from its elbow. And I'm starting to believe that. I really am. I had a lot more faith in D.C., but I was always in the tourist areas. Once you start going around, you know, once you start riding Metro, ride Metro. But the trains don't come. Ride Metro. You're waiting an hour to get on a train if you got a sellout. Ride Metro. Mass transit is not the fastest way to go if it's not prepared to go. They can't run more trains. You know, at least in New York City they try to. They do it. You know, the 7 train out to Flushing. They run more trains when the Mets are playing. And they do the same thing with the Yankees. But there's going to be traffic because there's only so many you can get. D.C., man, I get the feeling that they really don't know what's going on anywhere. You know, the more I'm going down there, the more I want to be part of D.C. because, you know, I live in Montgomery County. I'm in the North Potomac, Gaithersburg area. I didn't move 19 miles away from Washington, D.C. to be on a cow farm, so to speak, in Gaithersburg or North Potomac, whatever you want to fake address this place. I didn't do that. I want to be part of the city. The city is where the culture is. When I was 19 miles or 17 miles outside of New York City, and New York City was my life. I went down there every day for work. We went down for the Ranger games. We did everything. You know, New York City was where we went. Sure, we lived in the suburbs, and on some weekends, we're not going down to the city, whatever, but it was there. Be part of it. You've got to take advantage of it. But, you know, the more and more I go down there, the more and more I could see why people don't. It is a struggle. It is difficult. It is not easy. Now, Muriel Bowser, I really hope you can change things around. I hope you can turn things around down there. Get Metro in line. Get the fire department in line. Get everything in line. Because it just seems that everybody's running, and there's always these studies and stuff like that saying things aren't efficient. I mean, the homelessness is out of control. It is out of control downtown. You know, again, I haven't been to New York City or lived in New York City for at least 2 years. And with de Blasio up there, you know, people are saying it's going back to the bad old days. But I don't know if Washington ever had the good old days. I don't know. You know, I mean, they talk about more people moving in, there are more jobs, urban professionals. You know, you're moving out neighborhoods, and where do people go? And you know, that's one of the questions. It's like gentrification and against people moving out of their neighborhoods. But is that homelessness? I don't know. But it's a little bit scary because it's just not homelessness, and you have compassion for homelessness. But sometimes, I mean, I was talking last week or the last time we were on the air, I was talking about, you know, drugged out, cracked out, whacked out. Damn. People I was scared of. You know, when you grow up in New York City and you live in New York City and you think New York City is safe as compared to you're more nervous in other towns, then there's something wrong. There's definitely something wrong. Or maybe New York City got it so right. Unfortunately, government sometimes is trying to condition and train people. It is running a bit of a do it my way or not, because this is the right way. But we'll see. We'll see what Muriel Bowser can do. I hope it works out. But, I mean, really, we were going around trying to find parking lot B, and 11 people. This is no lie, no hyperbole, no exaggeration, no anything. 11 people couldn't tell me where to go. Finally, I'm in the mousetrap going up the street again, and I see an opening for it. Van Street. I found it. Van Street. That's how you get to parking lot B. You go to Van Street. Why do I know? How come I can tell you how to get to parking lot B and nobody else there could? And it was funny because parking lot B was relatively empty. Empty. Maybe everyone goes to A and C because they can't find B. That is a flaw. That is a serious, serious flaw. And then getting out of there, it took an hour and a half to get home. As I said, you're going into one of the neighborhoods that you don't want to be in. And then you're in the middle of the day, thank goodness. You know, with two little kids, you worry about everything. But we were stopped at a traffic sign. But we were stopped on a street. We were trying to go 500 yards, and Waze was just killing me. 500 yards, make a left, make a right onto O Street. 500 yards. They estimated wait time, 32 minutes. Oh! Seriously, I think it would be easier to go to an Orioles game by car than it would be a Nationals game by car. You know, something's failing there. You know, you could build it, oh, and the whole neighborhood's coming around because of the Nats game. You know, 84 times or 82 times a year plus playoffs, that neighborhood is jammed up. People can't be happy to live there. People can't even be happy to work there. They got to dodge all these cars. 82 times a year plus playoffs. You know, I'm all for stadium development, you know, if it's going to refurbish a neighborhood or rebuild a neighborhood or get it going. You know, you could see Camden Yards, how it helped Baltimore. But, again, if it's a detriment to the neighborhood and it's a detriment to get down there, I don't really, you know, next time someone comes along with free Nationals tickets, even if it is the Mets, I don't know. And they wonder why attendance hurts, right? Baseball attendance hurts. Phone number 773-897-6423. Again, it's 773-897-6423. I'm spitting mad. You can see that. I'm spitting mad. I'm always mad, but I'm not really that mad. The funny part here is you hear my frustration. You hear me yell and scream, rant and rave. I'm not that mad. I'm a good guy. I'm pretty calm, if you believe it. I'm a cool kind of fellow, calm and mellow. I swear to you. But some of these things, that's why I do radio. It's like therapy, because all this stuff that builds up on you, bam, you can get it out. Program's called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negron. We're going to be here who knows when. We're thinking about Thursdays at 2. We're trying to figure out the right day to do it. We're probably going to keep doing these in the afternoon. Again, do it the lunch hour pop-up radio. I'll let you know. But, you know, if you enjoy the program, and I appreciate a couple of you emailing this time, saying, when can I listen to it? If I can't listen to it at work today, can I listen to it on archive, etc.? Yes, you can. Go to Blog Talk Radio. Or just type into your browser, Outside Looking In with Bruce Negron, and you can pull up previous episodes and listen to all the ranting and raving and understand why I'm 47 I'm going to have a heart attack. No, that's not true. Not true. Not true at all. So what else is going on in Gaithersburg area? We're going to be very Gaithersburg-centric. A lot of stuff to talk about in the Montgomery County area. One of the things I wanted to talk about is the Montgomery County Liquor Board. What do they call themselves? Let's see. They call themselves the DLC, Department of Liquor Control. You've heard me talk about this before, how Montgomery County seems extremely backwards, utterly backwards, in how they deal with liquor and wine, spirits, and beer in this county. It's You ask me, it's un-American. Seriously, it's un-American. The county has a monopoly on the distribution of all wine, beer, and spirits in Montgomery County. And it's no good. It's no good. You know, they try to run it like a business. And let me tell you, no government can run a business. It is not the same. You can't make the hard decisions. You can't hold people accountable. You can't do any of that stuff that a business, a private industry, can do. And there are certain things. I'm not talking about privatizing carting or privatizing something else. But liquor industry, it is too important to the county to keep it as the county. The benefits of lightening this up and getting rid of the DLC and opening it up to privatization is tremendous, absolutely tremendous. And it's been a point of the county council. County council member Roger Berliner has come out, and he has created an ad hoc committee trying to get the laws changed in Montgomery County. And this is not talking about being an alcoholic, all right? This isn't about drunks. This isn't about, oh, I need beer to pour on my head. This is about commerce and economy. So Berliner is quoted as saying, "Today the county council unanimously passed a resolution that asks our state delegation to reform a significant part of the county's antiquated liquor control system." This is what also gets me, is that to get county permission, you've got to go to the state. State laws and county laws? I mean, where's home rule in any of this stuff? State, Annapolis knows anything about Montgomery County other than cutting its school funding. So Berliner goes on to say, "For 9 years, I've asked myself why our county is the only county in the country to have a monopoly in the liquor business. The answer is, it seems as simple, revenue and county employee jobs." Yeah, when you try to take away county employee jobs, you're going to get a fight. But Berliner comes out and says, "I don't find that answer satisfying, even on a day when we're adopting significant budget savings plans." You know, because it's all based on revenue and jobs. But listen to this. And this is exactly what I was saying a minute ago, and I'm stealing his words, but he's stealing my words as well, okay? So, I mean, this is just any wise man's thought. Why? Because we do not do this business well. You know, he's talking about other jurisdictions are delivering on a 24-hour cycles while Montgomery County businesses wait up to a week or more to get an order corrected. A week or more? You know, you were affecting someone's livelihood. You know, if things were run as a business, which they can't be in a county situation, they just can't be. I can't belabor that point. There is no way. The worst thing a government can do is be in private business. The worst thing. When I lived in New Rochelle had a lot of city properties, and they became landlords. You know, they would take over a property, or they had a property that was bequeathed to them, etc. And what was going on with all these properties in New Rochelle? They were falling down. The buildings, the structures that were on them. Because New Rochelle was a terrible landlord. They shouldn't be in the real estate business. They should have gotten someone to try to market these properties and sell them for revenue and income. But New Rochelle wouldn't do that. They didn't think about that. So the properties fall into disrepair. And then what happens? They have to give them away for a dollar to someone who says, "Oh, I'll fix up everything. I'll take the care of the cost of carting away that building that you let fall down. You know, you give it to me for a dollar with no property tax." It's just, you know, come on, man. Come on. Use your sense. Montgomery County needs to get out of it. But you know what? Elected officials are scared of telling county employees that they're going to lose jobs. And I'm not sitting here trumpeting, jobs be lost. Damn you, I want beer. Damn your job. I'm not saying that, because Berliner wasn't saying that either. He's saying, you know, the Teamsters will get more, another union, the Teamsters will get more jobs. There'll be more jobs. He said in Washington State they changed it over, and 91% more jobs came into effect because of it. Does it not bother you that you can't go to a supermarket after 10 o'clock maybe because you want to prepare for tomorrow instead of waking up tomorrow for your party and buying some beer or wine or spirits? Yeah, they have little licenses, but the cost is more. You know, in a Montgomery County store, let me tell you, this is one of the big differences you're going to find as well, is that you go to a Montgomery County store to buy beer, go up to Shoppers in Germantown, and it's at least $2 less. $2 less, but they're still getting the sales tax, but it's $2 less. You're not even giving me the best pricing. You're buying on bulk, Montgomery County, and you're not even giving me the best pricing. It behooves me to spend a little more in gas, and Shoppers, right next to Shoppers, is a cheap gas station, so it behooves me doubly to go up there and buy the beer, because there's selection, it's cold, and I can get it. And it's cheaper. Bing, bing, we have a winner, a chicken dinner. You know, but Berliner's here, he's talking about Montgomery County, you know, is saying that they're not good at doing the liquor business. And he goes, "These results are not surprising. We are not a business enterprise. If you combine the absence of business instincts and imperatives with a grant of monopoly power, you have the worst of both worlds." Ouch! "Our county has plenty of experience with monopolies, including those that we created or the state created, i.e. Pepco or our taxi cab industry. We know how poorly these monopolies have served our community. Our liquor monopoly performs no better. And while we focus on the revenue gain, the revenue we've gained, we have not focused enough on the revenue we lose. Check this out. I got to believe these stats because he wouldn't put them out there if he didn't believe, if he, you know, a county councilman wouldn't put these out there. He goes, Total Wine, a store in McLean, Virginia, estimates that 1/3 of its business comes from Montgomery County. They love us there. That's what Berliner said. We are also the District of Columbia's best friend when it comes to liquor because our residents shop for liquor there. If we were to repatriate the dollars that flee our county, we would plug a good portion of the revenue that we are concerned about. Amen. He goes on to say, I've heard that the arguments that a monopoly helps both public health and public safety, I don't accept them. I don't think our county residents are healthier than residents in the rest of the United States by virtue of our liquor monopoly. I don't accept that we consume less alcohol, as county statistics would suggest. You know, Montgomery, we were healthy, we were green. Montgomery County always wants to promote something that might not be true. Because our county statistics, by definition, don't incorporate all the dollars spent in D.C., Prince George's County, and Virginia. And I don't accept the responsibility that we lose. I don't accept the fact that we lose our ability to control to whom and by whom liquor is sold if we were to get out of the liquor business. Public safety is not at stake in the debate over DLC's future role in the marketplace. Then he goes on to say, I do appreciate that our county employees union has jobs at stake. That is true. It is also true that other unions, such as the Teamsters, which gain jobs as a result. And it's also true that privatization efforts in other jurisdictions, such as Washington State, this is what I was referencing, have demonstrated that more jobs are created, 91% more jobs. You know what? Let's not get crazy. 91% more jobs. That's like when we're talking about the Life Sciences Center down on Shady Grove. 100,000 new jobs. Just pipe down with the, you know, 91%. I'm not buying that. That number is awfully high. Awfully high. You know, I mean, and you're just meeting, he says, he goes on to say that he's meeting with restaurant owners and they can't fill their restaurant's needs. If an order gets skipped, if they don't have a bottle of Jack Daniels, they might not get it for a week. You know, I mean, staples, just not special orders. Restaurants do not come here for this very reason, he says. And business is suffering because of it. Then he comes to the end. This is his conclusion. While I voted for the resolution and appreciate the work of the ad hoc committee, it should only be the first step toward ending this monopoly for good. We should not stop here. As though we have put this issue to bed, the public testimony was replete with pleas to go further. We must chart a path that leads us out of a business that no other county in the country is in. We are not good at it. It harms our reputation. It damages our economy. It robs us of its jobs. It hurts our consumers. It's time to develop a phased exit strategy. Roger Berliner, give me a call. Phone number 773-897-6423. I want to join your committee. I totally agree. And you're saying, oh, Bruce, you're saying this as a drunk. I am not saying this as a drunk. I am saying this as a former bar and restaurant owner. You run out of something on a Friday night and you're having a good Friday night and you can't serve Jack Daniels or Absolut Vodka or Grey Goose or whatever. We used to be able to call our reps and say, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you do me a solid? Sure. We'll be down there in a, you know, within the hour. Thank you. And also, you can buy in volume discounts, which I understand there's no discounts here. You know, if your hot button is Jack Daniels and you're going through 3 or 4 cases a week, you know, a lot of places would be able to throw in an extra case. And that's in control. That's control. You know, I can discount an extra case to you. That helps business. And just a sales tax. I mean, you got a damn liquor tax. You know, you have your restaurant bill, and then you have a liquor tax on top of it. So if you start selling more liquor, you're going to get more tax dollars. So there's the economy. And more businesses, more small businesses might get involved into this. You might have more wine stores, more privatization, more jobs. I do understand it. 91%, Roger? Let's back it down off of that one because that's pie in the sky numbers. I mean, Washington State, was nobody working there? Was nobody employed? That you've got 91%? I don't know. But it's just a matter of convenience. Being able, and what he's saying at the end there is being able to buy beer in a grocery store while you're going out for your barbecue or something to that effect, or your party. Oh, let me get the boxes of ziti, let me get the party platter, and let me get some beer while I'm here in one shop stop. One stop shop. That would be much, much easier. But not in Montgomery County. You got to make four stops. And plus, you're not going to get it cold unless you're going to pay a premium to get cold beer. NG, man. NG. It's just backwards. It's backwards. And if I wanted to wave a flag, I would say it's un-American. You know, let's not go into hyperbole because we don't have to. It's just an antiquated situation. What's also antiquated, again, is I don't understand the laws of the county and the state yet, which I'm going to start reading up on so I can be better informed with this. But, you know, we got to ask our state delegation to change a county law. Seems backwards to me. That's backwards. That's antiquated. It's un-American. It all ties together. Speaking about the state, how about Larry Hogan, huh? Battling cancer, and the lieutenant governor, I can't even remember the lieutenant governor's name. This is bad because the point I'm going to make should, when you vote for a governor, make sure you vet the lieutenant governor as well. Because how many times in the past 10 years has lieutenant governor taken over to be governor? Whether in emergency situations or because of corruption. You know? Had it happen in Illinois? You had it happen in New York State? You know, you got the lieutenant governor here with a higher profile due to the fact that Larry Hogan has health issues. So don't discount the lieutenant governor. Hear what he has to say because one day he might be governor. That's a position I should get into where I don't really have to run the campaign. I could just be on the campaign trail. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? You're looking good. Looking good. All right, I love this. This is the best crab cake I ever had. That's all you got to say in Maryland. So I also did blasphemy the other day. I was on Facebook. When we moved to Maryland, someone had given us a Old Bay spice bottle. Took a picture of it, put it on Facebook. It's still unopened. Blasphemy in Maryland. You're supposed to put Old Bay on everything. They give it out of toll booths, from what I understand. Old Bay on your fries, Old Bay on your beer, Old Bay here, Old Bay there. You know what happens when people start cooking? They forget that the food is supposed to speak for itself. Spice is supposed to bring out the flavor of the food. You're not supposed to just have Old Bay. You know what? Then just give me some lettuce with Old Bay on it, and that's it. Give me a cheese sandwich with Old Bay on it. Don't give me crabs with Old Bay if you're going to overdo it. It's supposed to accentuate and bring out the flavor of what the spice is on. Because sometimes I think I just like condiments. You know, I mean, I was thinking about ketchup. My son doesn't eat ketchup. My oldest doesn't eat ketchup. But my wife is like, Ryan, you should really try ketchup. Try ketchup on those french fries. Mmm, it's good. You know, but if he doesn't want ketchup, why are we trying to push it on him? I keep telling her, and I said, why are you pushing it on him? Just let it be. I mean, he's enjoying the taste of the french fry. And boy, is this kid set in his ways. They were talking, again, I was saying it's like how your parents, your kids become your parents. This kid, he's like, McDonald's french fries, Dad. They're number one. They're number one. I'm not kidding you. Seriously, Dad. Seriously, they're number one. You know, I'm trying to get him to eat steak fries. He's not buying it yet. But, I mean, why? If he enjoys the taste of a potato french fry, of a McDonald's french fry, without ketchup, then he should be able to eat it without ketchup. Right? Right. Me, I know what I've fallen into. You could put a hamburger in front of me, put anything in front of me. If you give me wasabi and soy sauce, I'll put it on there. I love it. You give me sour cream and like hot sauce or sour cream and taco sauce, I love it. That happened because I was in college. We had those square pizzas. And guys, Salim Malik and Christian Junket, they came out and they're like, oh, you should put sour cream and hot sauce on your pizza. I never had. This is how sheltered I was sometimes. You know, big New York guy. Oh, I know everything. I know the world. Never had sour cream in my life. Until I went to college. As you can guess, I gained 15 pounds my freshman year. How you doing? And then I lost them. I went from 202 to 170. People talk about running. You know, people talk about all these exercise programs, and there's some things that will get you strong and big and all of that kind of stuff. I'm not going to poo-poo on that kind of stuff. But there is no better exercise than running if you have the patience for it. No better exercise. It will drop the weight like you won't believe. Everyone's like, oh, I don't want to exercise, you know. Oh, no, I'm doing this instead of running. I'm doing Zumba. Just go running. It will drop the weight. I know it. I hate running. The thing about here is, like, people want to run in the street. Oh, running's so boring. I like being bored. I like running around the track. You run around the track. You put your headphones in. You don't think about anything. You can solve all the world's problems in your head. You don't have to worry about cars. You don't have to pay attention. I like running around the track. And that's how I did it. I'd listen to Mr. Magic Rap Show and Pete Rock on on Molly Mall Show or DJ Red Alert, and I'd run at night. I'd run at day. And you do. I mean, once you get going with exercise, stay with it because you never want to stop. Or you just don't do it at all. Like me. How you doing? Play hockey 3 times a week. So I'm talking about spices, and I'm talking about simplicity. So we're saying about Old Bay. You know, one of the things about Old Bay, it's just, you know, it's a nice accoutrement. It's an accent. Don't kill it. You know, spice isn't flavor. Hot isn't flavor. People will give, you know, you go into California Tortilla or someplace like this. Oh, this is hot sauce. You know, when you're starting to sweat when you're eating, then you're not really tasting the food anymore. You know, you're trying to get napkins to wipe your forehead off. What's up with that? You know, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Just nice little space. So, anyway, there's a new restaurant coming in across from Quinch Orchard High School, right next to California Tortilla. How apropos. Boy, am I a Segway king. But it's coming in now. It's called Inferno Pizza Napoletano. It just said Inferno Pizza, so I was like, oh, man, that was my idea. Should open up a pizza place right there. Just have the regular oven. Open it up. Sell slices to all the kids who, you know, they all walk to McDonald's anyway for lunch. Go across the street. Get a you know, 2 slices and a Coke for $3, $5, whatever it would be. That would be the business. I'd get to wear a white T-shirt, a white apron, and just say, how's your father all the time? How's your father? How's your father? And watch, like, Goodfellas. Right? Put up pictures of, you know, I'm Greek and Austrian, but I'd put pictures of Italians anyway, because Greek pizza, they cut it differently. They cut it in the eighths, or they cut it across. I don't like that. I like when they cut it in the diamond shape. Circle pizza, outstanding. But anyway, Inferno Pizza's coming out. I'm excited. I'm excited, and all of a sudden, I see a review in the Washingtonian about what's going to come on. Gourmet pizza. Gourmet pizza. As per the Washingtonian, an ambitious new pizzeria is close to arriving in Gaithersburg from Tony Conti. The former Oval Room chef of 9 years says he's slated to open his first solo venture, Inferno Pizzeria Napoletano, around Labor Day. Anytime you speak Italian or Spanish, you got to say it like, Sabato Gigante, Inferno Pizzeria Napoletano, Radadinita, Ine Ciabella. I know the English, Michael. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, it's going to be a 40-seat space. And Conti is trained in the prestigious John George's Restaurant in New York, which I went there. My wife and I were given a wedding gift of a $500 dinner at John George's. You know what? Just give me the $500. It's the most embarrassing moment of my life at John George's. I am going to tell you what a rube I am at times. They gave us a hard-boiled egg with a little cream on top. You know, because it came out in courses. Everything was in the courses, this French restaurant. So I'm sitting in John George's, and I have the thing in front of me, and I'm trying to tap the egg with my spoon on the side until the waiter comes over. Garçon. He comes over and says, no, it's already broken up top if you just remove the cream. Oh, like, oh. My wife was laughing at me. Best part, she didn't know either, but she didn't make the foolish move. I did. But anyway, so I've been at this place. Hopefully he's not charging $500 for pizza. But the chef's going to bring a serious approach to a pizza place. Conti spent time in California, earning a coveted Versace Pizza Napoletana certification, a degree of authenticity awarded by the Italian organization established to protect Naples' signature dish. Are you kidding me? He's got a license to make pizza? A license to make pizza? Something so simple that any Portuguese guy in New York can make? Because you can't find Italian pizza in New York City anymore, even though it's on every third block. Get a slice, double stack like Tony Manero. But no, you can't. A license to make pizza? That's un-American. It's un-American. He's going to be the only VPN-certified pizzeria in Maryland. Outstanding. He's going to put a foo-foo shi-shi place right next to California Tortilla and the empty Yogi Castle in a strip mall near CVS and a Capital One. Know your market, people. Know your market. This whole area is based on families, right? And if you get to go out as an adult, you're going out at 5 or 6 o'clock getting a blue plate special if you have kids. The whole place is based on families. Who tried to do it with Brasserie Beck? You know, the restaurant up in the Kentlands, they tried to make that a foo-foo shishi one, and now they change it to the Boulevard Grill. Zoinks! Robert Wiedenheimer, or whatever his name is, couldn't even make it work. He had to change it. Largens, right? We're going to make a... They didn't even have a family. That place just sucked. Let's be honest. But they didn't make it either. Everybody wants to be foo-foo and shishi. Who's got time for this, man? I got kids. They like normal pizza. You know, they grew up in New York. They enjoy normal pizza. The closest thing to normal pizza here is either Mama Luigi's or Potomac. And you got to get Potomac well done. But seriously, who's got time for all this stuff? Why do you have to take the simple things in life and make them complicated? Everything is complicated in this world. And does it give you a badge of honor? Obviously it does. You get a VPN of Versace Pizza Napoletano certification. You know, listen to this. Dinners might also find fresh porcini mushrooms or chanterelles, I don't even know how to pronounce it, on a mushroom pizza instead of the common cremini. Oh, my God. Why is it such a shame? Why do I have to be embarrassed about being common a little bit? Food tastes uncommon. Simple sometimes. I'm not just saying spaghetti and meatballs. You know, give me spaghetti and meatballs. Give me lasagna. I'm not talking about going to Pizza Hut either. But why can't I just get a Jay Ferraro's Italian Village pizza from New Rochelle or East Chester or Chester Heights brought down here? Everybody's talking about, oh, you can't get good New York pizza down here. You can't. Why can't you take that concept that is on every street corner in New York City and every other block in Westchester County or New York State and bring it down here? Why does it have to be fancy foo-foo shishi pizza? No, you're laughing at home because you're like, wow, Bruce, you're really getting worked up over pizza. No, it's a euphemism. It's a microcosm of what's happening to our world right now. If you can complicate it, people will complicate it. Something simple must be complicated. Otherwise, it's not good. It's not chic. It's not something. You know, he's going to get a nice wine list. I'll have a nice wine with pizza. Not necessarily I so much, but my wife will. You can get a fine wine list. I don't mind that. But she's got no problem with the regular pizza either. Why do we have to put polenta mushrooms on there instead of semini? Like I'm a schmuck because I like normal, dry mushrooms. I like sausage on my pizza, as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, you know what I like? New York pizza is so damn good that you just get plain slices. You don't have to put a damn thing on it. Talk about keeping it simple. You know, Patsy in New York, John's Pizza, you know, they're talking about the wood ovens and all that kind of stuff. It's still good, but it's still simple. You know, I mean, you got to get a license to serve pizza. I had a friend, Mark Giordano, who about 15 years ago, we went to Toronto to see the New York Rangers play the Toronto Maple Leafs. Outstanding trip, much fun. This is when Canada was like a 73 exchange rate. So you go up to Canada with, you know, $100. You come out with a lot more money than you started, 70-30. And they give you coins. And you could throw down this coin on a bar, say, I want a beer, a steak, and a woman, and a bath. And you put down that coin and you get all three. But anyway, I digress. But he was the first person that I've ever seen complicate something. He got exfoliating soap. Been using Ivory all my whole life. Mark Giordano pulls out exfoliating soap. He's an actor. You know, his complexion was important to the work he was in. So I'll buy that. But it's like, I didn't have time to live his life. I mean, exfoliating soap, where do you find that? Now you can find it everywhere. But let me talk about how ridiculous it is, because all the people who want specialty and all the people, the hipsters, right? They all want specialty and all this kind of stuff. What do they drink? Pabst Blue Ribbon? Ugh! The most common beer that even Budweiser drinkers don't like. You know, it just bothers me that you could take time to complicate things so greatly. I mean, something simple will make it difficult. Craft beer, cheeses, this, that, you know. I'll give you the wine, the wine experts from the Roman times, right? The French and Bordeaux and all this. I'll give you the wine. You know, let it breathe, circle it around. I'll give you that. But when it comes to beer, just leave it alone, man. Everybody, German beer is damn good, and it's crisp, it's clear, it's almost like Budweiser, right? I can drink a German beer. I don't have to sit there, oh, it tastes fruity, it's hoppy, it has an IPA taste of it. Now pizza. Staples of life we're making difficult. What's going to be next? Gourmet dinosaur nuggets? Oh, it has a spicy blend of Old Bay and polenta mushrooms. Your kids will enjoy it. White tablecloth dinosaur nuggets. Chicken nuggets. Makes me mad. It really does. I mean, it's just, good luck to this pizzeria. I'll go there. I'll try it out. You know, maybe he's going to have really good pizza. I hope so. And we'll see. Because I'll tell you what's really gone downhill, and it's not fair for me to say, but I'm not getting paid by anybody. Coal fire pizza. When I first got to Maryland 2 years ago, it was okay. I enjoyed it. You know, the kids enjoyed it. We go in there now, and I haven't been there in a long time. I was like, okay, I don't like it anymore. The place is dirty. The food isn't as good. And when I'm talking about dirty, this is the scourge of the earth sometimes, because sometimes when you have a job, you look at things differently. When you're a restaurant owner once or a bar owner once, you look at things differently, and it can drive you nuts, and it can take away from the enjoyment of what you do, of what you're eating, et cetera, because you're looking at things at a higher standard. What if I ran this place? Well, Coal Fire, if I ran that place, the outside part that you treat as a secondary area that people want to sit in on a good night, I would sweep up the leaves every morning. It's called opening. Sweep up the dirt and the paper that goes in there so people aren't sitting in dirt with their feet in receipts from Kmart. Come on. It's your business. Take care of it. You know, there's just some things that have cachet that lose it because they just don't care anymore. And their menus, right? This is another thing. It's like you're caring about your business. They give you a menu that's laminated, but it's fraying at the edges, and you should just peel off the laminations. This tells me you don't care. If you're going to use the same menu, which is probably costing you 30 cents to make, and it's going to have a shelf life of a long time, but get rid of it. These are the little things that make a difference. Personal care, personal understanding, giving a part of yourself to your establishment. How does Chick-fil-A do it? That's what I want to understand. That's what that baffles me, because we're sitting outside a Coal Fire and I'm looking at Chick-fil-A. Do they pay more than a McDonald's to get people to come in there and actually bus tables and walk around and deliver your order? I mean, what do they do that's so different? How do they treat their employees that make them care so much? I want answers. 773-897-6423. 773-897-6423. Told you I'd go down to Washington, D.C. Well, let me tell you what the program is. The program's called Outside Looking In with Bruce Negron. We're here whenever I feel like it. Pop-up radio. Bam. Here it is. Boom. I got a show. Bam. That's a show. It's like Seinfeld. But anyway, I told you I'm going down to D.C., my son Ryan enjoys D.C. He goes, Dad, I want to go see the Washington Monument. You could go on recreation.com or .gov and secure tickets for the Washington Monument on your schedule. He told me this about 3 weeks ago. I went on, found 4 tickets for July 26th, bought them. It cost me about $2 or $2.50 a piece for service charges, which was reasonable, but I knew I was going to get tickets. Because you could get tickets to the Washington Monument for free, but they just start distributing them at 8:30 in the morning, and takes a long time. You know, they're out before you're even there. Before you even wake up or have a sip of coffee, they're out because the line is long, etc. So you can go on recreation.gov. Here's my tip for you. Do it. Do it. You can get tickets for the Washington Monument. Pretty interesting to go up there and see, because that's one of the things I don't have. I've never had an aerial view of Washington, D.C. before. You could see Silver Spring, Bethesda, etc. See for miles. Sugarloaf Mountain, about 40 miles you can see. But anyway, we get out of there. And Ryan's like, I want to go see American Innovations, America Innovates, at the Museum of American History. I'm like, damn, son, sure, we'll go. We went down there, and America Innovates. First of all, they have a good humor truck out in the front yard. I was like, kids, this is what I used to get ice cream from. I was so happy. Nerd. Such a nerd. But anyway, we go inside, and all this exhibit did to me was make me feel old. It's amazing the differences in technologies in 30 years or 40 years. I mean, going from a channel that you had to turn to a remote, using something with a remote, and then to cable, and I still would call it a clicker. You remember when the TVs had a clicker? I don't call it a remote. I call it a clicker. My kids, give me the clicker. just go up one channel at a time. It was just doing what the youngest son had to do, click, 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 if you didn't have a clicker. But anyway, we go there, and we see the Walkman. Ouch, the Walkman, the staple of my childhood. I love the Walkman. And it's amazing, the Walkman, you can't de-emphasize how important it was. You can't overstate how important the Walkman was. It changed life. Come on, Bruce, what do you mean? It made everything portable. Everything became portable because of the Walkman. Yes, they were working on portable things like cell phones, etc. But you remember the old cell phones when Salt and Pepper walking down the street? They had to carry it like it was a refrigerator block, like a small refrigerator. Yo, Herb, check it. I'm on the cell phone. I mean, that thing was as big as a cinder block. But anyway, the Walkman, you can say it isn't important, but it is extremely important because the Walkman is the precursor to any handheld device. I mean, they also had the Game Boy in there, but how did we listen to music? We all want music portable on a portable way now, something that we can hold in our hand, strapped to our arm, and the Walkman was the reason that happened. Whether it was the Nano or the iPad Touch or whatever, you know, once you could digitize it, but the Walkman is the father. That's on the Mount Rushmore of innovations in my lifetime. And I don't even think so. I didn't believe that at first until I saw it, and I saw everything else that jutted out in that exhibit right there. And I mean, they're showing the PDAs and Blackberries and the Game Boy. Amazing. The one thing they didn't have in there that I thought was pretty cool, they didn't have the Mattel. Remember Electronic Talking Football or Electronic Football from Mattel or even the basketball or the racing game? Blips on a screen, and I spent hours playing that. Hours playing that. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. But if you want to feel old, you're 47 years old, 40, if you're in your 40s and you want to feel old, go to America Innovates at the Smithsonian Museum of American History. You'll feel old. That's all I got to say about that. What else do we have to do? We have to talk about, well, we talked about the Nationals game, now Washington, D.C., talked about Gourmet Gaithersburg. Hey, it's pizza. Let's put some spinach on it, some porcini mushrooms, and extra, extra virgin olive oil. America Innovates, Donald Trump. What are we going to say about Donald Trump? This is pretty simple. Spend a minute on Donald Trump. The media created him. You let him get away with whatever he wanted to say. People loved it. People loved it. You're fired. I'm the greatest thing that ever happened. I'm the greatest thing. My water, Trump water, is the best waters ever. It's so tasty and refreshing. It's almost like Gatorade, but it's water. I mean, you're going to give him a platform. You're going to let him talk and promote himself. Bloviate is the word. If you're going to let him do that, you know, the media created him. Channel 4, NBC created him, and then they're going to fire him. He's not going away for a while because people are so sick of how politics is run. And not that we need to start saying mean things, but just start getting a real conversation. I mean, Hillary Clinton, just say that you hate everything Obama's done and you're going to do it differently. Mark Rubio, come out and say what needs to be said. Jeb Bush, boy, I didn't think you'd fade away this quickly. I mean, Trump is ahead in the polls because he's the only one talking. I mean, he is Bob Rumson from American President. You know, he'll make you afraid of it. He'll tell you what's wrong with it, but he won't tell you how to solve it. Everybody attacking Trump, attacking Trump. Attack the guy you made. That's the American way. Tear down the guy that you built up. You gave him a platform. Let's take that stage away from him right now because he's saying crazy things. He might be, but you let him say crazy things before. What's different? That's all I got to say about Trump. What else do we have going on here? Trying to take a breath. My voice is going to be gone after this. I'm getting lightheaded. I need lunch. I'm not having lunch because I'm talking about this. But here's another topic. Silver Springs Transit Center. Things have been going on since 2008 or so. They're trying to build it. Montgomery County's trying to build it, give it to Metro so they can put development around and make Silver Springs bigger than it is. What happens? The cracks develop. Montgomery County has to put in another $21 million, $25 million on top of the $140 million they spent to build this transit center where Metro buses are supposed to run and connect everybody and do all this stuff. It's been sitting idle for a bunch of years. They're about to hand it off. They did all the They did all the inspections, so they said, Montgomery County says, Metro comes back and says, not going to happen. Not going to happen on my watch. Your transit center needs work. Metro. You know you're in trouble when Metro, the subway, Washington Metro can tell you, the transit people can tell you or try to hold you up. They can try to extort you. That's how you know how much trouble you really put yourself in it. You've given them a reason. And that's my whole philosophy. Don't give people a reason. Get them what they want. Do it properly. Don't give them a reason to attack you. You know, because it's like in my job, if I sell something and something goes wrong with the printing, they're like, I'll say, well, here's the make good. Well, I also found, once they find one thing, they'll find nine other things and try to get you down on the price. You know, don't give them a reason. Don't give them a reason. Well, the shipping didn't come in on time, so I think you should discount plus. And plus, there was a spot on the car. Oh, really? Really? That's why you got to do everything properly, because you don't want to give anybody a reason. But anyway, Montgomery County has given Metro a reason. Metro has told Montgomery County officials, and literally has told them. They didn't discuss this. They have told them that some of the recent repairs to the Silver Spring Transit Center are showing signs of degradation. And it's asking the county for $15 million to cover future maintenance and repair. Montgomery County doesn't have a dime to throw away right now. They took a budget that cut everything, and they're going back to cut some more because Ike Leggett is trying to be fiscally responsible. They're asking Montgomery County to put in $15 million more to cover future maintenance repair. Put it in escrow. This is one agency that has no money telling the other county agency to come on. County officials, in turn, accuse Metro of attempting to hold hostage the delivery of the problem-plagued facility to the transit agency until its demands are met. Well, damn skippy they are. They have you over a barrel. They're going to try to get what they want. The new round of charge and countercharge is the latest in a long history of interagency discord surrounding the three-level commuter hub, which is 4 years late and $50 million over budget because of design and construction issues. Montgomery County still has to sue the people who built this, who didn't build it properly, with the cracks starting to show once it was completed. So Montgomery County, for people that don't know, had to go back and fix all this stuff. And now Metro, the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, is trying to say that we need $15 million to cover everything. I can understand it. You know, they don't want a white elephant. But Metro is supposed to take over the building after its completion and would operate the center, which is adjacent to the Silver Spring station, and have it be part of the bus and train system. The county officials, reading verbatim from the Washington Post here, the county officials said that this month that the repairs are virtually complete. They also said they had been working with Metro operations and marketing staff towards an August 9th handoff of the facility, followed by an August 23rd opening. Bum, bum, bum. Here's the kicker. Metro officials said Monday that no such certain date has been contemplated and that any final acceptance of the transit center into the bus and rail system would require action by the Metro Board. On July 21st, the county received from Metro proposed amendments to the 2008 agreement. It said that the county's repairs, which added about $21 million to the facility's estimated $140 million price tag, did not address all of the concerns outlined in the 2013 engineering report. I'm pretty sure Montgomery County covered off, you know, dotted the I's and crossed the T's on this. But Metro goes on to say some of the remediation repairs are showing signs of degradation already. The Metro document added that the transit center already is cracking at an abnormal rate due to construction and design deficiencies. So Metro asked the county to place $15 million in escrow to cover extraordinary maintenance and repair of the facility in the future. And now here's the kicker. You said don't give someone a reason. So not only do they not want $15 million, here's what I'm saying. Don't give somebody a reason. And this is outrageous. Outrageous. It also asks that the county relinquish to Metro its 25% interest in any future development on land adjacent to the transit center. The agency has 75%. And 100% tax abatement for 10 years on any development on the site. Oh, there it is. Whoop, there it is. Boop, there it is. 25. Hey, Montgomery County, we want you out. We don't want you to be part of anything. You built this for us. Now we want you out. We don't want you to milk us for anything. They want us to get rid of our 25% interest in any future development and then get a 10-year tax abatement. You know what I got to say to that? I'm going to say exactly what Timmy Feierstein called Metro's request. Preposterous! Preposterous, I say! Preposterous! The Chiefs County Administrator officers went on to say, I'm troubled that at this late hour, Washington Metro appears to be holding transfer of the facility hostage until the county accedes to unreasonable demands. Those are unreasonable demands. The $15 million to cover, I can understand that. You know, why does Washington Metro want to be holding the bag on that particular thing? But you gave them a reason, Montgomery County. You gave them a reason to ask for 25 to get your 25% and for 10-year tax abatements. That's what I'm talking about. Do it right the first time and people won't have a reason to ask for more. Because that is a ridiculous situation. We need the revenue. We need it, man. Montgomery County, do not give up that 25%. But, you know, they got a lot of nerve for asking, Metro does. Good for them. They're cash-strapped as well. Let's see what we can get. Feierstein says they think they're in a position where they can negotiate. Of course they do. Of course they do. But Metro comes back saying the agency was surprised by the county's position and that the outstanding issues are anything less than legitimate and substantive. Of course they are substantive. Of course they are. The $15 million I get, we don't have it, but I get it. You're just protecting your back on side on that one. But the 25% asking us to get out? Uh-uh. And I say us as Montgomery County. Montgomery County, stand firm. Stand firm on that one. Stand firm on that one. Well, it's 3:02. I'm a little bit over. I got to get back to work. Instep Marketing needs me. I want to thank you for listening. The program's called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin. I'm going to be here. I'm going to let you know. But again, I appreciate everybody listening. But word of mouth will get this program out there and we'll get bigger and stronger and we'll become a difference maker. I do appreciate you listening. I appreciate your emails. You can get me at brucenice@yahoo.com. You can get me at brucenegrinradio@yahoo.com. You can look at my Facebook page, which is Outside Looking In with Bruce Negrin. And that's pretty much about it. All right, so tell your friends, wake the neighbors, let them know that the program's on the air and that we're trying to get things done. Otherwise, do me a favor, step up to the mic because no one's going to say it for you. And do something today that'll make you better tomorrow. I'll talk to you next week.